Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. I've been speaking about loving God more. Is there anything you love more than God? Pause on that right there. Is there anything you love more than God? Do you love your job more than God? Do you love sports more than God? Do you love alcohol, drugs more than God? Do you love your reputation more than God? I'm beginning this program really with an examination of conscience. And I want you to take an honest look, if you would. You don't have to. I'm not handing down orders. But I would say, stop and ask. Of course you love your spouse, perhaps, and your children, perhaps more than anything else on earth. Absolutely. But do you love God above all? Are you seeking to follow Him, to raise your family, to whatever state in life you're in? Does God have the first place? And that isn't easy. How do you show God that you love Him? Let's take a look at these readings. The first is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and head south on the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, the desert route." So he got up and set out. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, that is the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury, who had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join up with that chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" So he invited Philip to get in and sit with him. This was the scripture passage he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will tell of his posterity? For his life is taken from the earth. And then the eunuch said to Philip in reply, "I beg you, about whom is the prophet saying this? About himself or about someone else?" And then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture passage, he proclaimed Jesus to him. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there is water. What is to prevent my being baptized?" Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but continued on his way rejoicing. Philip came to Azotus and went about proclaiming the good news to all the towns until he reached Caesarea. He encountered the presence of God. And remember, that's why we treat our Bibles with reverence. Remember, brothers and sisters, the Word of God is living and active. That Word has power. Ask Him to increase your love. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom that you may know the place that His love for you needs to be. I know when you're a mother and you've got small children, I know what that's like. But just get out a few words to Him and tell Him, "Lord, I love you and I want to love you more. Teach me how to do this." You'd be surprised sometimes what God does. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. And shouldn't we be doing that? It's not an easy time in this country. But God has spared many of us. And those who have departed us will stand before God and do stand before God. God's in charge of all this. Sometimes I think, in some ways, this pandemic, at least one of the side effects of this pandemic, is to bring us back to the Lord. We've been doing so many other things. We're so busy. We might have a moment to say a prayer at night, but that's it. No, God needs his rightful place in us. I don't mean you can get to communion, confession every day or need to, but what I do say is give God time in your heart. Put aside the other things. You might be surprised as you invite Jesus into your life every morning. You might be surprised even at the wisdom that sometimes you have and you think, where did that come from? I've had a couple of those. Where did that come from? I have no idea, but I do. It's God. God helps when we need him. We need him all the time. Psalm 66 tells us, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Yes, bless our God, you peoples, loudly sound his praise. He has given life to our souls and has not let our feet slip. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. When I appealed to him in words, praise was on the tip of my tongue. Blessed be God who refused me not my prayer or his kindness. Brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be something if we could, just in our own neighborhood or in our own city or town, wherever we are, we could gather a group of people who would be willing to praise the Lord some night, some evening, just for 15 minutes, not long, but who really would be willing to praise God. It might touch the lives of others. Of course, we might get calls saying you're disturbing the peace. I don't think so. Don't wait till people are in bed. By that, I mean 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, somewhere in there. And just praise God with a good song. That's all you'd have to do. And see what happens. Probably not the first time, but the second or third. Might be people want to come to join you. And they can. Because they love you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you very, very much. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 44 to 51, Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." How often do we receive communion? How often do we just dash out of the church? As I've often thought, when people just go to communion and then leave, you're not honoring God at all. Take a few minutes, even if it's 2 minutes, take a few and just ask God, "Lord, I love you and I thank you for today. Help me to love you as I meet people and I work with people. Help me to love you. You love me deeply, I know, Lord, and I want to love you more and more each day. Help me. Help me to follow you. Help me." There's a little note by a Sister Magdalena Domenica in the book that I'm reading today. She died in 1942. She was a medical doctor and a Dominican tertiary who lived in a monastery of Trappistine nuns. She was of Jewish descent and was killed at Auschwitz. Think of that. She was killed. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you something that she said. Think of that, though. She died for you. You probably know that we are here and awaiting deportation to Poland. Tomorrow morning we move on. With me are two Trappists and two fathers and a lay brother of the Abbey. I want to tell you that I am full of confidence and completely resigned to God's holy will. More than that, I consider it a blessing and a privilege to have to leave under such circumstances and in this way defend the word of our fathers and shepherds in Christ. If our suffering has become a little greater, our blessing is likewise doubly great, and a glorious crown awaits us in heaven. Rejoice with me. I go with courage and confidence and joy, as do also the sisters who are here with me. We are being allowed to bear witness for Jesus and to testify with our bishops on behalf of the truth. We go as children of our mother, the Holy Church. We want to join our sufferings to the sufferings of our King, our Savior and Bridegroom, and to offer them in sacrifice for the conversion of many souls, and thus, before all else, for the peace and the kingdom of Christ. It's just a portion of what Sister Magdalena Domenica wrote. Again, I want to repeat, she died in 1942. She was a medical doctor and a Dominican tertiary who lived in a monastery of Trappistine nuns. She was of Jewish descent and was killed at Auschwitz. Oh, brothers and sisters, how many people have died because they loved the Lord? And she writes one thing further I want to share with you. She writes, "In case I do not survive," and she did not, "you will no doubt have the kindness to write afterward to my beloved parents and brothers to tell them that the sacrifice of my life was in their behalf. Convey to all of them my love and gratitude. Tell them that I ask forgiveness for every wrong and for the suffering that I may have perhaps inflicted on them. Tell them also that my mother's sister and my father's twin sister went to the camps of Poland full of faith, trust, and resignation. Tell Father Stratman that he must not feel sad, but on the contrary, join me in giving thanks to God for having chosen me and to sing a joyful Magnificat. This work for peace we began together will come to consummation when, where, as God wills it, and I shall collaborate as zealously and effectively as possible, either through my insignificant suffering, and it is indeed nothing as compared with the eternity of joy that awaits us, or from beyond, I shall always help him and stand by him. Now thanks for all the good you have at any time done for me or for all your merciful Christian charity. You have given me courage so often. Jesus lives in my heart and walks with us and gives me strength. May he, brothers and sisters, be the same for you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.